Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Luke 9, especially these words. Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Difficult words from Jesus in our gospel reading as he's going all around in Samaria and in Judea proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. The Samaritans, because his face is set to Jerusalem, reject him. Their worship was at Mount Gerizim, not Jerusalem. So anybody going to Jerusalem, they want no part of. James and John wonder if they should call down fire and cook those Samaritans. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. They were looking back. There was no time to look back. Another one comes to Jesus saying, "I'll follow you." And Jesus puts him off. Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man, well, you know. And it seems like that one leaves. To another, Jesus says, "Follow me. Let me first go bury my Father. Then," well, there's no time. And to another, "I will follow you wherever you go. But let me first say farewell to those at home." No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Who then is fit for the kingdom? Were those disciples? Peter and Andrew and James and John? Matthew? After all, when Jesus called Matthew, he left all of his tax collecting stuff at the booth and followed Jesus. Peter left all of his nets at the seashore and followed Jesus. Are they fit for the kingdom of God? Is that what Jesus is saying? That some are fit and some are not? No. That's not what Jesus is saying here. It's not like some people are better than others in a religious or a theological sense. Not that some are better before God and others are worse. We're all the same before God. Peter and James and John and Matthew, they were all the same as those people who offered to follow but had other things to do first. Jesus' point here is that no one is fit for the kingdom of God. That doesn't seem fair, does it? It seems like there should be some people, us, that's the way we think. Some people should be fit. It should be us. Good enough, we're holy enough, we're righteous enough. We do the right things, say the right prayers. But Jesus' point here is that no one is fit for the kingdom of God. After all, when we think about ourselves for more than just a moment, we realize all of our sins, all of the things that crop up into our mind and in our heart, all the things our hands do, our eyes see, our mouths speak, we realize just how sinful we are. With every sin, we look back, away from Jesus and his righteous commands to our own selfish, sinful needs, to what we want, what we think we need. With every sin, we do that. With each and every sin, we take our hand off of that plow and look back. Proving that we are not worthy of the kingdom of God. What can we do? Try harder? Do better? think that's where some sermons would probably go. Give it your best shot. Be the best father or mother or grandparent or neighbor or friend you can be, and you'll get there. But that's a lie, isn't it? You can do your best. You can do better than your best, and still you are not worthy of the kingdom of God. For you are by your very nature sinful and unclean. And no amount of things you do will make you any better before God. He knows each and every one of your sins, even the ones you've forgotten about. And he condemns you rightly for them. There is no one who is worthy of the kingdom of God. And sinner, listen, not even you. So what's the answer? If the answer isn't for us to do better and try harder, if the answer isn't found here, where is it found? You know. It's found in Jesus. That's why he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Because you so often set yours on your sin. Because you so often set yours away from God, Jesus set his to go to Jerusalem. That meant for him rejection and hatred. It meant for him suffering and toil. It meant for him even cross and death. Jesus knows what it means, and Luke invites us this morning to understand as well. As Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem, it means he's going there for you, to die for your sins, all of them, because you are not worthy of the kingdom of God. And there's no way you could be apart from Jesus. He must do it. And so Jesus does. He travels on with that face set like flint to go up to Jerusalem. Amid the shouts of the people on Palm Sunday, he gives his disciples his body and blood, even though they've got no idea what's going on Thursday. And amid their fear and trepidation, he lays down his life on Friday. For you, who are not worthy of the kingdom of God, for you, who so often look back in sin, for you who are sin through and through, Jesus has died and sets you free. Isn't that amazing? You don't set yourself free. But he sets you free, and if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Of course you are. All of that sin that clung to you, all of that death that hung on you, is gone. Jesus has paid the full price for it. There is therefore now no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus, for you've been set free. Free for what? To serve one another. So Paul says in our epistle reading, that because of what Jesus has done, because we've been brought into his kingdom and forgiven through our baptism into him, we are set free now under the gospel, that good news, to serve each other. And so you do. Parents serving children, grandparents serving grandkids, kids serving parents, neighbors serving one another, friends serving each other. It's what you do in Christ each and every day. We've got a great example of that today, that freedom of service, don't we? In just a moment, we'll install our new officers here at Emmanuel on the various boards and committees that we have. They've offered themselves to serve here, to serve our congregation, not to get something back, There's no pay in their vocation serving here. But they want to. They want to come at 7 o'clock at night for a meeting. They're willing to stay late for that meeting even. They want what's best for our congregation, and they're offering to serve. But they'd be able to do exactly that. Give us the best of their service. What a blessing we have before us in those outgoing and incoming officers to see all their service and their love of serving, not because they must, because they want to. It's their joy. We know we do not deserve the free gift of salvation found in Christ Jesus. We turn our back on him day after day. We are not worthy of his kingdom. And yet we, sinners, receive forgiveness, life, salvation. Unworthy though we are, Jesus gives and gives. Flowing from the cross, from his death, he gives to you forgiveness and everlasting life, that you would set your face to receive his gifts this day and forevermore, loving him and serving your neighbor. In his name, amen.